Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes and I'm so happy you're with us today. One of Jesus's greatest lessons, as I think we all know by now, was that we all must forgive, not seven times, which that would be a lot when you think about it, but 70 times seven times. In other words, we must forgive every time and no matter what. Forgiving goes hand in hand with loving, and in fact, it comes first. You really can't love properly unless you learn how to forgive first and forgive every time. Jesus's method of automatic, prevenient forgiveness works very well, but today's guest teaches another approach to forgiveness that might work especially well for you. Our guest today is Brenda Reese. She's dedicated to helping people overcome obstacles that hold them back from living life to its fullest. In her successful coaching practice, she guides people through a five-step forgiveness process that's easy to understand and to learn, which, unless it's almost automatic, you know, even driving is almost impossible without getting angry at people. And I'm the worst, or I used to be the worst driver on earth, so I really know that's true. Brenda says that self-forgiveness originally helped her to transition out of victimhood and into the life that she was meant to live. And it can do the same for you. Brenda has experienced these obstacles firsthand in the form of toxic relationships, eating disorders, you'd never know it looking better now, of course, and anxiety, which can consume your everyday life when these problems are allowed to control your life. She has the wisdom now to help others navigate through their most difficult times in life in a healthy and a liberating manner. And she's written a nifty book. I love this book. It's called Forgive Yourself. It's short. It's easy to understand. And I think everyone should read it. The first thing we have to understand, and this is an important thing to know, is that the people who wrong us could not care less whether we ever forgive them. Forgiveness is the gift that we give to ourselves. And forgiving ourselves is the biggest self-gift of them all. That's actually self-gift number one, is to forgive ourselves. So we have a lot to talk about today. Brenda, welcome. It's lovely to have you back with us.
Oh, Roberta, it's always such a pleasure. You bring me so much joy in talking with you. So thank you for inviting me.
Well, aren't you wonderful to say that? I think you're the first person who's ever said that to me.
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh. No, you do. You are so joyful. I love it. You just fill my heart.
Oh, darling, you're so sweet to say that. Well, I feel the same way about you because, and by the way, I think you have the most beautiful and welcoming website that I've ever seen. About everybody's website is sort of all about themselves, but your website is all about the person who comes to the website, which I think is very refreshing. I went there this morning because I wanted to remind myself more about your book without having to go find your book, because I have a trillion people's books on my computer. Yeah. And I couldn't even find anything about, you weren't trying to sell your book there. It was all about the people who come to your website, which I thought was quite remarkable. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
So let's talk about forgiveness. What is, it's something which you help people with. So what do you see forgiveness as, really? What is forgiveness?
Well, forgiveness to me, it's different. So forgiveness to me is a way to find what's blocking my path from shining my light and being me in this world. Forgiveness is about kind of it making a way for me, it's making a way for me to be able to step into me. It's knowing myself better. So it's not just about saying I'm sorry. So forgiveness isn't just about resentment and anger. Resentment is actually creating an environment of acceptance and allowance so that I can be the person that I'm meant to be. And a lot of people don't look at forgiveness in that sense. And that's what I'm hoping to do for people is to be able to, because forgiveness, as you know, people like want to hold on to the stories and those grudges and they've wronged me and, you know, I'm never going to forget and all of this. And who does that hurt? Us, the person holding on to it. And so it's like, well, wait, maybe we can look at forgiveness differently. If we can look at it, if we can shift our perception around it, then maybe we can be able to let go of those stories and those people and quit giving them all of our energy, pull our energy back to us and go, wow, who am I?
So forgiveness, really, forgiving someone else is about pulling your energy back from that person and owning it, your energy again for yourself.
Yes.
What a beautiful way to look at it.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it took me a little bit, but it was like, no, there's so much more to forgiveness than people realize. Because a lot of people are scared of forgiveness, right? Because they get like an identity from it. They get like, I'm the wronged one and there's power in that anger, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, but this causes all sorts of physical ailments. It causes anxiety. It causes so much. I mean, I'm a perfect example, right? My body was breaking down, needing a back fusion, a neck fusion, and a brain tumor surgery.
Say that again. You had a...
I had a back fusion. I needed a back fusion, a neck fusion, and I had a brain tumor surgery all within like a year and a half. Because the way I look at it is that I was holding so much anger and resentment because I kept forgiving too easily. I would jump to forgiveness because I didn't want to feel the pain. I didn't want to feel the emotions. I was afraid of them. And finding this forgiveness process gave me a way to process that. But my body had started to, you know, because our bodies are beautiful and they hold. It's like, you know, the book, The Body Keeps the Score. It's true. We hold that heavy energy within our bodies. The other person's going on living their life.
Right? That's right. That's right. Doesn't hurt them at all. Right.
No. And we're the ones that are just holding this grudge and living those stories over and over again, not being able to get out of bed and feeling like what's the use in life because it gets so depressed because we're squishing down those emotions. That's my, you know, that's a technical term, squishing down the emotions.
That's a technical term. Squishing is a technical term. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. But that's what I was finding for me. I was afraid of my anger, Roberta. I was afraid of my anger. But you know what? I kept being in relationship with people who were angry. And until I realized doing this forgiveness work, oh, they're a mirror for me. They're showing me what I'm not looking at inside of myself. Now, they had their own little, you know, stuff. They had their own anger, that whatever they were doing. But for me, in relationship with this person was, Brenda, address what's going on inside of you. And when I was able to get super angry, like after my last divorce, when I was able to get like super angry, raging angry, it was like liberating and free because I was releasing all of this tense and built up energy within myself so that I could then be more me.
Yeah. So what you're saying is, if so, you were just saying I forgive, but you weren't really forgiving.
No, I was what they call, you know, the bypassing, right? So it's like where you jump from one to the other. So instead of feeling my emotion, instead of feeling the hurt, the grief, the sadness, because I believe that as we're little and we go through all sorts of different traumas or we go through different experiences, we don't know how to deal with them. So what we end up doing is stuffing it down, right? Because our little minds can't handle it. And what happens is that builds up and it creates protections, defense mechanisms, I call it, you know, where we're trying to protect ourselves. And as we get older, our body can't hold it for all that long of a time. And so what I was doing was I was just like, oh, they didn't mean to do it, or, oh, which, you know, which was true in a way, But I wasn't valuing me first. I was jumping over the emotion so that I could get to forgiveness so that I could feel okay. So I was afraid to handle my emotions because I thought...
You were afraid of fully feeling the emotion.
Yes. Yes, because I thought if I went there, you know how we call it there, if I go into the sadness, I'm never going to come out. If I start to cry, I'm never going to stop. If I get angry, I don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
And I think that's common.
Right. Probably it is. Right.
So I would just jump over that piece, not learning, because nobody teaches us really how to feel our emotions in a safe way. And that it's okay to be angry. Anger is not a bad emotion at all, or a bad feeling. Either is sadness. We're meant as human beings, as we know neuroscience is showing us, that we are meant to process these emotions. And once we can process them, within a couple of minutes, we can let that go. Unless there's a story attached to it. Then we don't let it go so easily.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
So if someone comes to you, so let's say they've been robbed, or someone they really loved was having an affair, and or you know they've been wronged.
Mm-hmm.
You help them process the emotions attached, and then help them forgive that those wrongs. That's what you do to help them.
Yes. Yeah, that's part of the process, is being able to feel the feeling. So you first, what's really important, our stories are valuable. And this is what people don't, you know, in my head or your head, you know, how we say the same story over and over and over again, right? And so we can get sick of our own story. But when we tell our story for the same way the last time, that's what I say to people when they come to me, you're telling your story the same way as you always have been, but for the last time, because now I am going to look at your story and I'm going to witness it. So our stories need to be witnessed and validated. Yes, you were victimized. You were hurt. And that brings relief. It's like, oh, because I have someone in my corner that's not just listening to me, but also I'm listening intently for where are those patterns? Where are those beliefs? Because what you just mentioned, robbery and infidelity, is all betrayal. Those are a pattern of betrayal. Because I bet you there's been other things that happened to them along the way of the same kind of essence or feeling. So I help them. I witness their story. Then we get to process the feelings. We get to learn how, in a safe way, to be able to feel. Right. And a lot of people haven't done that in decades.
Okay, so they have not had a safe place,
right,
and a safe person to witness their story. So
right.
You give them that,
yeah,
which I can see that would be tremendously helpful.
Well, yeah, and that's what I offer to people. It's kind of like, this is what I do. If you want to do that with me, that's part of this process. And I'm going to hold the space with you. I'm also going to be like a little bit of an archaeologist, because we're going to dig a little bit, right? Golden nuggets that are within your story that tells us.
Golden nuggets.
Golden nuggets. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Why are they golden though?
Well, they're golden because they're the nuggets that lead us back to where it began.
Okay.
So you can call it connecting the dots, right? But they're golden because, Roberta, when we learn to look at these experiences in life a little bit differently, as you know, as we all hear, life happening for me, not to me. If we can look
for me, not to, okay.
Yeah. If it's happening for me, which is a big jump, so I'm not asking people to jump to go to there right away, right? Because we have to process first. There's okay. A step. There's steps, right, that we follow. So we tell the story and we feel the feelings. Then we learn to, as I'm processing this with the person and I'm finding the golden nuggets, we're learning which one are we ready to look at differently.
Okay.
Right? And then we can separate So what happens with us as human beings is our brains love stories. And if in the absence of a story, it'll make up stuff.
Our brains will make up stuff
Oh,
that
yeah.
didn't actually happen.
It can happen, but it'll distort it,
Okay. All
right?
right.
Based on the other memories that you have, it can distort it. It's kind of like when you have two people going through the same experience, but they will tell you two different stories because our brains interpret it based on our own filters and our own response, our central nervous system response.
All
So
right.
it'll make up some stuff based on our experiences. So what
Okay.
I get to do is I get to take this story and go, okay, now we go through the story and we feel feelings. Now let's look at this and go, what's the fact of the story? And then what did I make up about it? Let's separate those two.
Because they may have worked on it with their minds, even subconsciously, and
Yes.
made it bigger or different.
Bigger and or more hurtful, because when we have a pattern, let's take a pattern of betrayal. When we have a pattern, so I have a spouse that had an affair. I'm devastated. That did happen to me. So I'm devastated and I'm more devastated and I'm hurt. I'm sad because this isn't the first time. So this is hitting like a little button within me. And that's going, ooh, this has happened before. I'm not consciously registering that. But what I'm saying is it feels deeper and it feels more intense because there's more to it than just a one-time thing. Does that make sense? Yeah. So when I can look at that, it's like, oh, so the fact is my spouse had an affair. That's a fact. Okay, you
But
can
you
feel
maybe
it.
made it get a little worse because.
Right. But if you just feel that in your body, my spouse had an affair, okay, it's like, oh. But now, what is the story that was attached to it? I'm not pretty enough. I'm too fat. I'm ugly. I didn't do things right. There's something wrong with me. I'm not good
I
enough.
see what you mean. You
Right?
expand it into
I
your own
expand it
hideousness somehow.
based on my experience. Based on my beliefs and patterns. I mean,
No,
it's
nobody will ever love me.
right. All of that we have been carrying all of our life, those are those golden nuggets.
Seems pretty tarnished for a golden.
Well, we got to shine them up. You know, diamonds, right? Diamonds are made under pressure. Diamonds are ugly. When you pull a diamond out, they're going for the inside. They've got to pressurize it. They've got to push it. They've got to really, really kind of break
Doesn't
it
look like a
apart.
diamond when they first dig it up.
No, but diamonds are made under pressure. That's kind of like human beings. So we're made under pressure, right? So I'm trying to get to that inside piece. So to get to the inside, I know, but, and I know it doesn't sound very fun, does it? I guess when I say it out loud, it doesn't sound fun. But I get excited because I know on the inside what that looks
You've
like.
seen the result of this
Yeah.
process, I know.
Yeah. So I get a little excited.
It's very hard to see other people's pain, and I think what I'm doing is seeing this with you. It must be so, you must be such a strong person to go through this with other people and help them through it, because I can't bear to see other people's pain, and you do this with your clients.
Yes.
You must
Yes.
be so strong.
Well, you know, I think I'm meant to do this because it is something I have been given the gift, and I call it a gift, of going through different circumstances throughout my life and being able to process, overcome, and be able to get to this space where when you meet me, you know, without even me telling you a lot of story of that I've been there and I get it. That's what most people tell me.
But I mean, you must be a rock, because I
No,
mean,
they,
I get emails from people and they tell me their stories, And with each of them, sometimes I say, okay, I have now, my heart is officially broken. I don't know that I can ever read another email like this. And yet each time my heart gets broken with those emails.
Oh, and you know, and that's where I've learned to have a boundary. I've learned to be able, well, this is for me. This is to be able to empathize and hold.
I can
this,
empathize. That's my problem. I can
right.
Empathize
and sometimes
like
we can empathize too much.
Yeah.
So this is where we look at, where does that trigger us, right? So where is that for me? If I'm being heartbroken every time, maybe there's something in this. If we look at the mirror, maybe there's something in this for me to be able to love and hold compassion for myself. So then I can become stronger in that area, because it's like this. This is what I learned is, you know, like that story of the man falling, you know, walking along the sidewalk, falling in a hole, man or woman, right? Falls in a hole. Somebody can yell, help, help, help me. So a person walks by and they jump in the hole with them.
Yeah.
Right. And then another person walks by and they jump in the hole with them.
Pretty soon it's a pretty full hole.
It's a pretty full hole, but everybody's stuck in the hole.
Yeah.
Until somebody comes by and goes, looks down and goes, let me get a rope. You know, and whoever wants to come out.
There's a ladder, guys. Start climbing out again.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I'm not jumping in the hole with you. And that's what I had to learn. I'm not jumping in the hole, but I'm holding this beautiful space for possibility to be able to not stay in that pain and heartbreak, but to be able to see the other side of it. And I get to hold that for my clients, because if I jump in the hole with them, we're no good.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you, that's a learned process, because I was jumping in the hole with people in the beginning.
When you have compassion for them as you do, it is very hard to feel that pain with them, because I know. I mean, you're a very strong individual that you're able to do this for them.
Well, and I look at, like you talk about what Jesus did, right? And the forgiveness and all of that. And if he was jumping in the hole with people, he couldn't have stood and held the faith and the love that he had, the kindness, right? Love is this energy that allows us to be there, but not jumping in the hole.
Yeah.
Letting people. So this is the acceptance piece of forgiveness also. I get to look at the fact of that you and each person that I talk to has a soul's journey that I don't even know what it is exactly, but I'm going to honor it, and I'm going to hold the space for this person to have that journey and know that I'm a part of this because they came to me. And when I, you know, learning acceptance, I learned acceptance through AA. I'm 20 years sober and grateful for that, because I learned in AA about acceptance, that acceptance is not agreement, but acceptance is knowing that each person has their journey and their experience. And who am I? I can't play God to try to change them, but I sure can offer possibility, and I can offer ways to have them look at their life differently if they want to. And if they don't, the hardest part is if they don't want to, then I have to make the decision of whether I stay in relationship or not. And that's also part of forgiveness, right? Whether I reconcile, whether I stay in relationship, or whether I need to separate myself from my own safety and loving, like you were talking about, self-forgiveness. And we have to walk away from relationships sometimes.
Yeah, we certainly do. And forgive ourselves for that.
Yeah.
As well. Now, but there's some wonderful testimonials on your website. Mm-hmm. How long does it take sometimes for people to get to the point where you've helped them to the point where they feel that they're free of whatever brought them to you?
Yeah, so each person is definitely different. And it depends upon the story and the attachment to the story. So the people that I work with, it ranges anywhere. It usually takes a couple months. It takes about 3 months, to be able to diligently work through the process, have somebody meet in the corner so that they don't feel alone as they go through this. I've had clients work with me for 6 months and they can really feel a difference.
Sure.
Wow. You know, within 6 months. And so I say it's amazing the difference a year makes. Because there is something about a year when you're doing a process, whether, you know, they work with me intently for like 3 to 6 months, and then they get to go practice on their own. And then they will do a touch base. They'll touch base with me on different things that come up. But most of the time, every client says to me, Brenda, after a year, they go, Brenda, I didn't believe you when you said a year from now, you're going to feel so much different. And they tell me every time, you were right. Oh my gosh, this is so good. And there has been two people in this last 10 years I've been doing this that didn't want to let go of their story. They didn't want to feel different. They wanted to be right. And so within that 3 months, they were like, no, this is hokey. No. And it's only two. And so I feel pretty good about that. But then I have to, that was a little heartbreaking because I could see where they could go.
Right.
But I have to let them go there, right? It was hard. It was hard, but it's also, I can't take it personally because that's their journey and I get to honor their journey.
I know exactly what you mean.
Mm.
They could have had a much happier
life.
They could have had a much freer life.
Yes.
But that was not what they wanted. So what can you do?
Yeah. And that happens a lot in relationships, right? When we have one person growing and, you know, looking at themselves and the other person not, there comes what I call a choice point time where you have to decide if that's where you want to stay or not. And a lot of people stay in relationships too long, I think, because we're afraid, you know, it's that fear. I know I sure did. And, you know, and then when it was time to come to that point in my relationship with my ex, it was hard and painful. And yet I had learned to love myself enough that I needed to do it for his sake and my own. Because the other person also is suffering. When there's no connection and there's no happiness between people, right? And sometimes we can't get to that point together. We have to be apart. You know, and I'm also, you know, we'll go through that like you and I were talking about before, about putting my husband in memory care. So there's also that part of our lives where we're going through diseases and we're going through different things like with dementia, and we have to make these hard decisions and choices.
I can't imagine. I really can't. I cannot. I feel very, very blessed that my husband at his age has kept all his faculties. I feel blessed that I've kept my faculties.
Yes, exactly. That's
I sure hope I have. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing to believe we've gotten to the ages that we have and our marriage is as sound and as good as it is.
I love
really
that.
Enjoy each other so much.
Oh, and I love that. And it is. And hold on to that and cherish that. And there's
we do every day.
Yeah. And that's, I think, and that's key. That's really an important piece of relationships. Is really honoring it, not taking it for granted, and know that especially now going through this last couple of years for me, it's been a deep, deep forgiveness process, even deeper than I was going before, in the sense of what it woke up within me and the different beliefs and patterns that I got to look at new layers of.
Right.
And being angry at him, being angry at dementia. Being angry at the circumstance and
at life. Why did this get, was this thrown at us? This didn't
right. Because we, yeah.
Us.
Why did this happen to us? Because we found ourselves later in life We're both had multiple marriages and we found each other and we're like, yay, finally. And then that happened. You
Yeah,
know,
sorry.
and I thank you. And but and the bit one of the biggest things I've learned is how much grief and forgiveness, right? How much grief we deal with in life, and we don't allow ourselves to grieve. We're a very grief illiterate nation.
Yes,
And
that's so true. Oh, that is
right.
so true.
And I really learned that because no one knows really how to grieve because again, they're scared of it because of the it feels like you're going into an abyss.
And we're
And you don't know if
embarrassed
there's a
by it
ladder.
because nobody knows how to deal with people who are grieving.
No.
It's sort of like a faux pas to be grieving and have other people see you grieve. No
Yes.
one knows how to deal with it.
No.
Don't know what to say to you. So to
No.
do it where people see you grieving, to say something that shows you're grieving, people, it's almost like, I don't know, it's an embarrassment to grieve it
Well,
where people
yeah.
see you grieving.
Well, and people want you just to get over it. They
Yes.
want you to get over it
Change the
because,
subject.
yeah, because they're
Yes.
so uncomfortable. And instead of just going, I don't know what to say to you. I don't know what that feels like. And I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm just so sorry that this has happened
Yes.
to you. And
Yes.
this is one of the times where saying I'm sorry is really good because
Yes.
I don't like people say I'm sorry because we say I'm sorry too much. Like, in a grocery store, it's like when you walk by someone, it's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's more of an excuse me kind of situation, where you can say excuse me instead of I'm sorry. But when in a grieving time, this is about saying, I'm so sorry this is happening to you. I'm so sorry you're going through this. And I don't know what to say. It's okay to say that. I
I
don't
mean,
know what to
all I could
say.
say to you is, darn it.
Yeah.
I mean, there but for the grace of God go I. My husband's
Yeah.
much older than yours is. I mean, I didn't know that we would be in such great shape when he
Oh.
was, almost 84. He's almost
Yeah.
84.
That's amazing.
And I look forward to him being 20 years older.
Yeah.
I know that's probably being very greedy of me to say
Yeah.
that, but I fully expect that's where we're going. And I've
Yeah.
told him that. I've said, you just better
Yeah.
take real good care of yourself because I fully expect another 20 years out of you.
That's good.
I am very greedy. I'm sorry.
No, you know what? It in this case, being, what we call it soulfish instead of selfish, our souls, right, want this connection.
Good term. I'm
Yeah.
going to remember that one.
Soulfish. Yeah, I'm going to be soulfish here and I'm going to say that, I want my husband to stick around for another 20 years. That's
I want
okay.
to stick around too. I've got a
Yeah,
lot
well,
more
of course you
to
do.
do. And he is so supportive in my work. I can't begin to
Oh,
tell you.
I
And
love
which is hard for him because I've left all religions far behind me, and he's a devout Catholic.
Oh.
In the beginning, when he realized what he had married, he told me I was going to hell. I mean, he was sorry about it. It was, I'm so sorry, dear, but you'll be going to hell. Well,
But I'm going to marry you anyway.
I was already married. Of course, there's no divorce in Catholicism, so he was stuck with me at that point.
There you go. Oh
We
my
have
God.
had a very funny marriage, a lot of things to laugh about, which is the
Oh.
key, I'm convinced, to a successful marriage. Marry a Catholic because they can't divorce you once you're married. And therefore, they've got to laugh about it. And so we've done a lot of
Oh, that is so
laughing.
good. Laughter is the best medicine, right?
Really
We've
is.
heard.
51 years and counting. So.
Wow. That's amazing.
I know he had to, he was stuck with me, so we had to make the best of
It sounds like you've done more than make the best of it.
Yeah, we have actually.
Yeah.
Actually, it's been a lot of fun. Yeah, no, we're still having fun every day.
Oh.
It's a very silly marriage, but no, it's wonderful. We're having a lot of fun every day.
This is a blessing. You are blessing all of us with your relationship.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of exemplary. You just don't take yourself or each other or your marriage all that seriously.
No.
But you do build your life around making each other happy. I think that's very important. That's really the secret to making your marriage work.
Yeah, it is. And I think too, and you can, I'd like you to talk about this a little bit, is like it's taking care of yourself first too. In a relationship, having your own autonomy is important. I don't you agree to having a good union?
Yeah,
Do
but
you think?
we talked about this. He's the one who actually has brought it up just the other day. We don't try to live as a partnership yoked. He has things that are important to him that he wants to do, and I spend my whole life doing this work, and he supports me in doing that, so that we eat our meals together. We talk to each other frequently during the day, but we don't insist that each other join each other in our shared enthusiasms
Oh, that's good.
at all. I mean,
Yeah.
he's very political. Don't tell me about your political stuff. I couldn't care less. And you know, I don't talk to him about my work at
Yeah.
all. And I think that's very important that we don't insist that the other join us in our particular habits and hobbies and enthusiasms at all. That's very
Yeah.
important.
I think it is important and learning that, yeah, to have your own lives
Yes, we have our own lives. Maybe
makes your
that's a better way to put
unions,
it.
yeah, makes it richer. It makes
Yeah.
it richer. Yeah.
I mean, if he finds something he thinks is really interesting and might interest me too, he'll share it. But a lot of stuff he knows I don't care about, he didn't even bring it up. And the same is true with me. I don't bring it up to him because I know he doesn't care about it.
Did it take a long time to learn that for each other?
Actually, probably 20 years,
Yeah.
but we've been married, we've been married more than 50. So
Yeah.
it only took the first 20 years of
Yeah,
him
that sounds
having to
about
say,
right.
honestly, I don't care. And I might say, oh, don't talk to me about that. We learned, we
Yeah.
learned.
And it's the willingness to learn. It's the willingness to learn and to honor it and
And not
stay
be
married, right?
insulted. Yeah, and not be insulted that we spoke very frankly to each other about what we didn't care about.
That's so good. That honesty. Yeah. Yeah. That's powerful in relationship.
I
Powerful.
think it is. I think it's the reason that we're able to be together and be happy together.
Oh, I agree. I do agree.
And
There is, yeah.
but we support each other too. I mean, he very much supports my work, and I very much support him in what he does, which some of which makes no sense to me at all. I mean, he was walking around the house, because it's that season. Lent just started. He was walking around with ashes on his face. I
Yeah.
said, I didn't tell him what I thought about that because it made him happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever.
Exactly. And that's honoring. That's respectful right there. That's respectful. And having respect in a relationship along with honesty and, and autonomy is powerful. And a lot of us don't have it. And I love that you shared that it took 20 years. It's like, yeah, relationships are about growth and healing. We're not meant to know exactly what to do with each other. We're meant to grow together, but as long as both parties are willing to do that.
I have told new brides that the first 20 years are the hardest. They don't like to hear that, but it's true.
I'm in agreement with you.
Let's talk about some of the things we probably should a little bit talk about your book and some of the things that because we're almost at the end of our time now. But
Okay.
this has been different from what we've talked about, in other conversations.
Absolutely.
But what are some of the things? I think you had a 7-step process or a 5-step process or something the last time we talked about.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that from your book that we probably should talk about? I don't know.
So,
I always have fun
yeah.
talking with you about all the stuff you have in your book.
Oh, well, I love just talking with you about everything because it all comes together. It all does. Our conversation always comes together. And so I love that. In my book, Forgive Yourself, there are sections. There's forgiving yourself, forgiving others, and living a forgiving life. And in that book is some examples, and then there's some thought prompts at the end of each of those little chapters to where you can just kind of think about yourself. So forgiving yourself is about looking at what are these patterns and beliefs? So if I am looking at myself and my story, I really recommend people write out a story. A relationship timeline is what I call it, actually. And when we look at a relationship timeline, if we're having struggling right now in our relationship, okay, we're not being heard, we're not being seen, we don't feel like we're connected. Let's write out where has this happened before? Where else in my life do I feel not connected? Where else do I feel not seen and heard? Let's make a list of all those things. Let's start connecting the dots so we can find those golden nuggets, right? And so that's kind of what that helps us do because awareness is the first step. Awareness is key because I can't change something I don't know is there. So if I'm just blaming the other person, thinking it's their fault, I've got three fingers pointing back at me. There's truth to that we hear. And so it's like, oh, because in my work, all forgiveness is self-forgiveness. And if that's the
Your
case,
work, all forgiveness is self-forgiveness. That's who you keep saying these profound things. I want to cross stitch and hang on the wall.
well, thank you. Because really, it does come back to us. Because if all relationships are for growth and healing, I'm in it for a reason. And yes, I can help the other person, but really, I believe we are here as human beings to learn to love ourselves deeper. And then
Yep.
when we love ourselves deeper, we can love everybody else deeper.
That's another one that's profound and so true. Absolutely right.
Yeah, I just truly believe, I just feel that strongly in my heart. And if that's the case, if I choose to believe that, well, then my relationships are mirrors for me. It's showing me where I have denied or repressed or rejected something about myself that I don't know is there. It's not a bad thing. It's like, where have I been angry before? Where did it start? How far back can I go? If I'm feeling wounded and hurt, where did I, and this is key, Roberta, where did I feel these same feelings? Where else in my life does this show up? And that right there is so key because how far back does it go? And that's where we find the root or can find the root of what is ailing us right now.
And so really, as you counsel people on these relationship issues, you're really helping them ultimately to heal themselves
Yes.
in a
Yes.
very profound way.
Yeah.
Do they sometimes then leave the partner that they're with?
Yeah, sometimes it happens, and then sometimes they look at their partner differently because what the process of the radical forgiveness technique that I teach is learning to shift your perception. So if I am no longer blaming my partner or my friend or my coworker or my boss, if I'm no longer blaming them and I'm pulling my energy back and I'm taking a look at where else has this shown up, I'm doing my own work. That relationship energetically will shift
Yes.
without me even doing anything except for taking a look at myself. A lot of times it'll shift And sometimes the relationship can be stronger, but sometimes you go, oh, I need to leave. This is time. You become clear. You get clarity.
And the relationship stops working, really.
Yes. Then. Yeah. Because sometimes we're not meant to be in relationship for that long. We're meant to learn something from this person, or they're meant to learn something from us. You know, not in all cases, because I know some people believe that when, you know, you're together forever, like in a marriage, but in some cases, maybe not for some people, because remember, we all have our own soul's journey. And so maybe for some, it's not.
Absolutely right. Oh, this yeah. is, well, we're going to do this again, my dear. Yay. This is, I'm sorry, we really have come to the end of our time. Our wonderful, wonderful guest today is Brenda Reese, and her website, which I recommend you just visit even, is BrendaReeseCoaching.com. You can learn a lot more about her just by going to the website, which is full of information. And her book is Forgive Yourself. I recommend you read it. You can read it in a very, it's a very short book, but it's full of information about how you can help yourself, really. I thought it was something, I mean, you can read it, I think, in an evening almost.
Oh, yeah.
It's very, very short, but full of information and help. Thank you for being here, dear. This has been so much fun. I always enjoy talking to you.
Oh, me too.
And once again, my beloved friends, we've come to the end of our time together. This has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. I'm so happy you could be with us today. Please never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began. You're never going to end. And when you get that, when you really get all the implications of that fact, it changes everything in your life for the better. Next week, our guest will be John R. Audette. He'll be here for the fourth time to talk with us about his remarkable book, which is called Loved by the Light, True Stories of Divine Intervention. And I think, what's it called? True Stories of Divine Intervention and Providence. His book is the result, actually, of a lifetime spent in the IANS community. He was one of the founders, actually, with some of the leaders of that community, including Raymond Moody. And he was the first, I think he led the first 4 years, starting in 1978. And he now is the co-founder with Dr. Eben Alexander of Eternia. And he leads that to this day. Also, Dr. Edgar Mitchell, Apollo 14 astronaut and sixth man on the moon, was co-founder of Eternia. So this guy, let's say, is one of the blue bloods of the IANS and Eternia, and sort of in the whole community of people in the IANS network, he is one of the earliest people and the leading lights of that community. Nevertheless, putting all of that aside, he wrote a very neat book, and I wanted to finish talking with him about it, so he's coming back. And I think you're going to like his book too. So please join us next week. And today we've been talking with Brenda Reese, who also has been with us for the fourth time. Brenda, as you can see, is just a bundle of fun. She's rapidly becoming our Seek Reality Forgiveness Guru, and her simple and straightforward, she actually, somewhere buried in all the things she says, she has a 5-step forgiveness process. And as you know, Jesus taught forgiveness, and I'd like to bring you as much as I can of all the different ways you can learn forgiveness. But I especially like what Brenda does, because she uses it as part of a coaching process, and many people really need that. They need to go into their lives, and they need to sort of take their lives apart and put them back together and make forgiveness the core of what they do. And so they need someone like Brenda to really help them do that. I urge you to go to BrendaReeseCoaching.com and kind of work with someone to help to do that with you. In any event, her book called Forgive Yourself, I think, is almost a must read, because, as I say, you can do it in an evening. It's very short. I think everyone can be helped by reading it. And because we've sort of used up all our time, I can't really talk to you about all the rest of the stuff I normally talk to you with. But as always, by now, you know what my books are. You know, you can always talk to me by just going to the green contact block on robertagrimes.com and just email me. I always answer emails. It can take a little time because I get so many of them. But just make sure you give me your correct email address, because sometimes I write a long email and it bounces and that makes me so sad. It ruins my day, and you don't want to do that. All of the more than 500 past episodes of Seek Reality are available wherever audio podcasts can be found. And you can listen to new audio episodes each week with the Seek Reality app that you can find wherever free apps are available. You can also see new video episodes each week on Roku, on Fire Stick, YouTube, and elsewhere. And meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please, my dear, wonderful, beautiful friends, make the most of this coming week in our one reality, always knowing that you are a powerful, eternal, and beautiful being, and you, most of all in this entire universe, I know you don't believe me when I say this, but you, most of all, are infinitely, eternally, and wonderfully loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.